problems. It's human nature to hate problems. But why is that? After all, problems inspire us to mend things, bend things, make things better. That's why so many people work with IBM on everything, from city traffic to ocean plastic, new schools to new energy, flight delays to food safety. Smart loves problems. IBM. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/smart/UK to learn more.
The Yankees are giving me 3 months full pay for doing nothing.
Well, I did it for 3 years. What's another few months?
I'm really going to do something with these 3 months.
Like what?
I'm going to read a book from beginning to end in that order.
I've always wanted to do that.
Learn to play frolf.
You mean golf?
Frolf! Frisbee golf, Jerry! Golf with a frisbee! This is going to be my time. Time to taste the fruits and let the juices drip down my chin. I proclaim this the Summer of George!
Okay, and are you ready for the show?
Yay, we're ready, Lucy. Please start.
And so I started.
This Mayor Rick Kreisman, and you're listening to the Homemade Broadcast.
Personnel, this is CBTS. Space vehicle pre-count operations will start on my mark at 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Will the soundtrack kindly produce a sound? Go on, don't be nervous. Go ahead. Any sound? Well, that isn't quite what I had in mind.
It is the Homemade Broadcast, HMB Radio on Radio St. Pete. Will Koontz is my name. I'm the host of this here program, heard on Radio St. Pete every Sunday, 6:15 p.m. Replays Mondays, 10:15 p.m. and Tuesdays in the morn at 4:15 a.m. Or you can just go over to hmbradio.com, subscribe, and then you'll just have it on your phone or your computer. We put episodes on YouTube. There's so many ways to listen, and we encourage you to do all of those, of course. This week, a lot happened. We had the Brexit vote. I haven't heard as many people care about European politics in my life, probably since January 4th, 1776, was the last time anybody cared, Americans cared about what went on in Europe. But the people of the UK have voted to leave the European Union. I don't really know how to feel about that. I don't really know what the effects are going to be. In my world, I know that the pound's sunk, and now it looks like it's coming back already. I know people are worried about that. But the biggest thing to me that has come out of this that affects my day-to-day is I don't know when these weird punk anarchists became authoritarian weirdos. I know this a friend of mine that is a total weirdo and moved to the country and lives on a farm and is totally anti-government, I thought. And then she's posting stuff about how terrible it is that the UK left the European Union. So it feels like that today it's not even really about liberal conservative values. You're either a nationalist or you're a globalist, and that's where the altercations lie as far as Facebook, anyways, arguing people on Facebook. But she posted this thing about old people should not have the right to vote. We shouldn't let old people vote, which is sounds crazy to me. They act like older people don't have, well, they say that, oh, they don't have any, they're going to be dead soon. Yeah, but they have kids and grandkids. They still care about what's to come. They want the best life for their offspring, right? You would think. But they argue no, that that's not the case. They don't really care. And her argument was that in ancient Greece, they didn't let older folks vote because they had no skin in the game. Yeah, I know, you know, our democracy comes from the ancient Greeks, but there's a lot of stuff that we don't do that the ancient Greeks did. They also had little boy sex slaves, and we don't really, it's kind of frowned upon in our culture. So just because they do something doesn't make it right. There's so many, and nobody knows how to argue anymore. They don't focus on the one issue at hand. They compare it to something else. It's called a straw man. It's a logical fallacy. You can't just start attacking another thing to get off the main subject of what you're arguing about, and everybody does it. Well, you'll say something, you know, whatever it is. I can't even think of an example. Donald Trump, right? He's a racist. And then probably somebody who likes Donald Trump would say, oh, yeah? Well, Hillary Clinton, she's supported by the Saudis, and the Saudis hate, they execute gays. So what about that? It's not really an argument. You're just deflecting the action to another subject to prove a point. It doesn't work like that. And everybody argues this way. It's infuriating. Yo, well, yeah, well, what about this? What about it? It's not, let's talk about the subject at hand. We're not backpedaling. We're not going, let's talk about it if we're going to talk about it. And old people should be allowed to vote. I know they don't always vote the way you want them to, but you also have to give them the benefit of the doubt, right? They've been around a lot longer than you. They have a lot more life experience than you do. They understand things more. I know they can be selfish people. I know they want their Social Security, and they're kind of sticking us with the bill there and don't want to budge on that, on their entitlements. My parents even do that. They want their Social Security. They're in their 50s. But they're entitled to it. So I fight with them. I fought with my parents about that because it's really sticking us with the bill that we, my generation, 30 and under, are not going to be getting these entitlements, as so they're called, which don't really exist because I don't think they factor, I think I talked about this before, but they didn't factor in, I think. Like, you would work until you were 60, and then you would retire for 5 years, and then you'd drop dead. Because that's just the way life was back in the 20s. You know, you lose your job, you lose your purpose. It's not like it is now. I mean, modern medicine, you live to your 100. It's not really crazy to live to your 100 years old anymore. That's kind of a new thing. But they're entitled to it. They want it. So that irritates me about older folks. But that doesn't mean they don't have any skin in the game either. So, yes, they can be selfish, but we should totally let them vote. That's insane to say that we shouldn't let them vote. I'm interviewing for jobs at different places, in stuff that I want to do actually, which is cool. I'm a terrible interviewer. I hate it. And every interview I do, I find myself just wanting to do my own thing. So if I get one of these jobs, that would be great, but I'm going to be running around like crazy if I get another job and having to do this and then work my other job. This is the life of an entrepreneur, though. It's a lot of work, and I guess you have to do it. I don't know. I'm exhausted. But then I'm like, well, what else would I be doing? Not much. So I guess you might as well do it. What else we got? I got fired. That's another thing, too, from getting fired and hired, and Creative Loafing finally gave me the old boot. I produced exactly zero articles for them since they hired me in March, not through my own laziness, because I've been pitching stuff and writing stuff, and they just didn't pick up anything. And finally, I got the email from, I asked Scott about it. I emailed Scott, who's, I guess, the guy that kind of referred me to the paper to begin with, and was like, what's going on? And I guess he must have talked to the editor. And she, this is the thing. Why can't you just be honest about it? She's been putting off the email. Like, why do we, let's not waste each other's time here. I understand if I'm not your cup of tea. Creative Loafing is a super, I guess they're like left, super left wing, I would say. And that's fine. But I thought they wanted something maybe some kind of different of a voice there, but they don't. And that's totally cool. And I understand that, but it was my writing that was blamed. Now, I am not claiming to be a good writer, and I kind of thought I was brought on. I've never written for a magazine before. No, I know I'm not a terrible writer, though, either. I got a 4.0 on Florida Writes back in the day, so not that, whatever that means. But I know I'm not a totally terrible writer because I've had people read it, and they've given me their honest opinion about it, I think, right? You hope so, people that you love and talk to. So, they gave me the boot, a little bummed out about it, because it was a good opportunity. I was really excited to become part of that team, to learn how to write for a magazine, a periodical, and I didn't get the direction that I needed there. So, cool. We'll move on from there. I'm going to continue to do some writings and put them on hmbradio.com, so you can check them out there instead. And who knows? You know, these things come and go, right? Opportunities come and go, and you seize them when the time comes. So I wish Creative Loafing the best with their magazine. It's a highly read publication here in the Tampa Bay area. Would have loved to be a part of it. But I also understand I'm not everyone's favorite commentator. Let's just put it that way. So this podcast is brought to you by Sly Bar, 2061 Central Avenue here in St. Petersburg. Make sure you go by there, get a sandwich. They got food now. Get a beer. We do the Sly Bar open mic every second and fourth Tuesday of the month. We usually start around 8:30, 9 o'clock. And the show is also brought to you by Truvy Salon and Spa, 8908 4th Street North here in St. Pete. Check her out, Chrissy Parker, good lady. 329-9751 is her phone number, 727 area code, and get some sort of spa service. I know she offers many. And then, of course, don't forget about the Yard of Ale comedy night that we have at Yard of Ale. And that's every Thursday with John Jacobs. John, I kind of just go and show up. I don't even know why John brought me along. But I appreciate it, certainly appreciate it. So I kind of just go and hang out there, and John runs the majority of the show. But it's fun, so check that out every Thursday at Yard of Ale, right downtown St. Pete. Check out hmbradio.com. We got it on the events page. And check out facebook.com/hmbradio. I definitely have all the events on there. Not as good as I should be with updating the website, but I'm going to get better. So, check that out. And while you're there, check out James Bailey's My Mom's Favorite Podcast on there. And sometimes we do extra time here, HMB sides, which are only available on podcast. So check out that. Subscribe so you don't miss anything. Yay! All right, folks. Today on the program, we have a dude who added me on Facebook like a year and a half ago. And he looked like a cool guy. He's handsome. And I was like, all right, cool. And then I found out he's an actor in the area. And so I talked to him on there because I was interested in trying to figure out how to get involved in the film scene here. And so he was nice enough to talk to me. It was about a year ago. I mentioned coming on the show. He said, sure, that sounds fine. And then we didn't talk for like a year. And I saw him pop up on my news feed and invited him in. I know he does a lot of projects here, but he's going to fill you in and tell you what he's doing. So without further ado, here is Tampa Bay actor Sean Gloria. All right, Sean, welcome.
Thank you.
I was telling the folks, as I call them, that I met you because you added me on Facebook. And I was like, oh, this is a handsome guy. I'll accept him. I only accept handsome men on Facebook.
Only handsome men. I'm
and flat. Chicks. That's flat. It.
I only add handsome men. So.
Oh, well, thank you. I'm honored. Yeah. So, so you're an actor in the area?
I am.
How long have you been acting?
I've been acting for going on about 8 years.
How old are you?
Old.
How old's
I'm
old?
I'm kidding. I'm 27.
Oh, God.
And
dude.
A half.
You're still
and
a young
half.
Man.
Dude, I'm over the quarter.
I do century, the thing because I'm 31, and hitting 30 is like the big thing. But
you want
then,
me to be honest with you?
Yeah.
I thought you were like 22, 23.
Good. That's what I like to hear. Yeah. But yeah, I'm 31. So yeah, I start to feel like I'm old, and then I talk to someone who's like 40, and then they just roll their eyes at me, and yeah. then I feel bad.
That's the general response.
Yeah. Here, pull that right up to your – get really sucked
like
on
right
that
up
thing.
In here?
Oh, perfect.
Oh, there
That's
we
much
are.
Better, yeah.
Okay, now
much
that
better.
Sounds a lot better.
So you've 8 years, so that means you started when you were about 19.
Mm-hmm.
How did you get your start?
I was living in Pinellas Park. I originally moved there to live with family and go to college. Mm-hmm. So I was studying business marketing with a focus in management. Had some family put me up because I was in school. I was going to school full-time. I was working full-time at a telemarketing job selling car stereo equipment.
Okay.
To
that sounds
shops.
Awful.
It was fantastic. It was an amazing time in my life. And I loved it so much that I got extremely depressed and didn't know if I wanted to go into business or not. So it was kind of a weird phase. I was working full-time, going to school full-time, started looking into things that I thought was, you know, was interesting when I was a kid, and acting was one. So looked up acting classes, and I knew it was something I had to do because it scared the crap out of me, just even thinking about taking an acting class at that point. So called one up. It was about 2 miles away from my house at the time, and signed up for a class, and then started studying there. I was with Corinne Brosquette in Pinellas Park at the Venue Actor Studio.
Do you know Owen Hahn?
I know of Owen Hahn. Okay. We've met a couple times, but
I'm trying to remember if he's the guy, because he was on here, I don't know, 6 months ago or so.
Yeah.
And I think that's the same one he went to. I'm not sure.
Gotcha. I know that he was studying over with Kathy Laughlin over in Tampa for a while, but yeah. He may have gotten a start at Corinne's. I know Brittany Snow came out of Corinne's class, and she's pretty big now, doing a lot of big things. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah. So what was scary about acting for you? Was it just getting in front of people and having to speak? Or was it more psychological, maybe like getting in your own head?
I think it was kind of both. The person I was growing up is completely different from the person who I am now. So I was very reserved. I was, you know, like anxiety ridden and just kind of your loner as a kid, like especially in high school. Took a while to kind of find myself. It wasn't until like senior year that I became comfortable with kind of who I was. I didn't take drama in high school. I didn't hang out with thespians. I wasn't extremely popular. I just kind of floated around. And then I had moved out here because, you know, I had some cousins reach out, and it was something different. So
where'd you grow up?
Colorado Springs.
Oh,
Colorado.
Okay. It's a beautiful part of the country.
It's gorgeous. Yeah. Absolutely gorgeous, but it's too cold, and I'd rather sweat than shiver any day of the week.
Man, so. Not me. I'm getting so sick of the Florida summers.
Well, I'll give you the address of the house I grew up in, and you can go take that spot.
Go hang out there,
yeah,
sleep on the porch.
Gorgeous. Absolutely.
Yeah, my air conditioner at work, 3 p.m., best it'll get you is like 83.
Really?
And I got the long hair, too, so I have to pin the hair up. Yeah. Otherwise, you just sweat. It's terrible. I can't stand the Florida summers anymore.
Gotcha. I'm a lizard, man. I like the heat.
Yeah. Well, you're in the right place, certainly. I love the winters here. Winters are great.
Winters are good.
Summers.
They're not cold, so I like it.
Yeah. I don't like the cold either. That's the thing, too.
You're in a tough spot.
I like 55 at night would be good, 75 during the day.
Gotcha.
I don't know where I can go to make that happen.
You need to find like a...
San Diego,
maybe,
probably, right?
A walk-in freezer somewhere.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Hang on there for a little bit.
So you started acting, and then what was your first... Were you just... So you take the classes, and then how do you get set up with, like, gigs, or do you... What's the process like?
Well, let's see. I don't know if there's any one singular process, really. For me, I was extremely shy. I hated talking in front of people. You know, like, when you're sitting in... Like, if you take a new class or you do a group thing, and everyone's sitting in the room, and there's that one awkward moment when the instructor's like, okay, we're going to go around, and everyone's going to introduce themselves. See, you rolled your eyes because you
know
exactly
what
you're talking
about.
Yep. Everybody tends to hate that moment. Well, I was no different. I wanted to get up and run out of the room, especially when that person right before you was going. I, like, couldn't sit still. I had ants in my pants, man. I just wanted to take off running.
Yeah.
So taking an acting class forced me to –
get out of your shell.
Get out of the shell, get up in front of people, and then doing your first monologue, you feel like you're going to have a heart attack.
Yeah.
Anyway, to make a long story short, the process, you start taking acting classes, and then you just really got to network yourself. I became really good at just jumping on, like, you know, Facebook or, like, Actors Access and just sending people messages just randomly, kind of like I did when we met, just added you, or I don't know if I did do that, actually. I take that back. I'm a liar. that's usually what I do, is I'll just send someone a message, introduce myself, and say, hey, this is what I do. I see that you do this, and maybe we can collaborate sometime.
Yeah.
So just kind of break the ice. But,
that's a good idea.
Yeah.
So did you? What have you done? Like, is there anything that people would know that they've seen you in?
Any random person off the street? Probably not.
Uh-huh.
I've done a lot of work in the indie market. I have a gravitation towards short films. I like the idea that you can tell a really good story in a short amount of time. We live in America. People have really busy lives, and it's not always available to people to go to a theater and spend an hour and a half out of their day to watch a movie. So I kind of like the short film market. I do a lot of short films here and there, especially locally.
You ever, like, directed anything or thought about doing that?
Not yet, but I would love to. I don't have a project that I've directed myself, but I've got, you know, scripts that I've written that I'd like to push forward. Putting a crew together seems to be kind of a task that I need to overcome here. But I feel like you can kind of do smaller things and kind of get around that, just direct things yourself. I mean, I just worked with a guy who shot an entire feature film by himself, and I was a lead actor in that. So that was kind of inspiring to see that it can be done.
It's so easy now, too. I mean, you could even – wasn't there a film not too long ago that was shot on an iPhone?
Tangerine.
Yeah.
Like, took over at Sundance.
Uh-huh.
And I'm not sure how many people were on crew, but if I'm not mistaken, it was shot on like an iPhone 5 or an iPhone 6.
Yeah.
And he had just some lens adapters.
Yeah, it's so
went
easy.
Out there and did
even,
the damn thing.
Even this stuff is, I mean, it's so easy. You just set it up. I plug it into the iPad. And I don't want to blow the illusion here that I don't have a huge studio, but I'm pretty sure everybody knows by now.
Well, that's a pretty awesome studio.
Yes, you know, top floor, 23rd floor of
the got a great view up here.
SunTrust building, and that's where we are at right now, in my mind. Yeah. But it's so easy now. I mean, you can really do whatever you want with the internet. You can distribute whatever you want.
Mm-hmm.
But then you also have the – it was already – competition's really tough. But then when you add it's so easy, anybody can do it
–
how do you make yourself more visible and make your projects better? Because I know so many people that are so talented, musician friends of mine. As far as I'm concerned, they could be a huge band touring just well as any of these other people. But luck comes into it so much, and I guess just your perseverance? I don't know.
Yeah, multiple things, I guess. There's a lot of things at hand, and that's why, you know, earlier I just said there's really just no singular way, in my opinion. I think you just really got to get yourself out there and do things that you believe in. One thing that I'm really going through right now is learning to stop telling people what I'm going to do and just do it.
Yes.
Because I was realizing a pattern of I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to do this, and I'd tell all these people, and they'd be like, awesome, can't wait to see it. But then I would never actually get around to doing it because I already got that satisfaction of, oh, okay, awesome, that's what you're going to do. There's a gratification in hearing, awesome. But then it's almost like you just float on that temporary gratification rather than pushing forward and actually doing it.
Right, yeah. That's the thing, too. I keep my mouth shut about everything now.
And that's what I'm learning to do.
Yeah, and so then that way it's a surprise to everybody, too.
Exactly.
You could just show a finished product, and that's so much better than telling people, yeah, I'm thinking about, you know, doing this.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's definitely one of those lessons you have to learn, I think.
Yeah, I think you gotta learn it the hard way for it to really set in.
Yeah.
You know. So
I'm not farting, by the way. This is the chair, just so you know.
That's you.
All right. Because I kept squeaking.
I don't believe it.
Just wanted to make sure. That's why I light the candle. So, do you have any projects in the works now, or what's going on?
Yeah, there's a couple things that I've done recently that are in post-production. I wish I would have brought my notepad so I could speak fully on them, but there's one that's kind of making waves in the local market right now called Reset. It's one of the most recent projects I've worked on. I played a supporting role. That film was done by Dominic Smith out of Tampa in association with the Art Institute of Tampa. It's a short film, and it's about a 12-year-old kid who is trying to get over the passing of his father. So he moves to a new neighborhood, starts going to a new school, starts encountering some bullies, and during that, he finds this device in this new house and he finds out it allows him to time travel, go back in time, but only for 3 minutes. So he starts to use this device to his advantage in dealing with these bullies, and then things kind of start to spiral out of control and goes on from there. And I play a role that's I play the bad guy. We'll put it that way. Not a nice person. So, but it turned out great, and it's doing really well in the local market. So keep an eye out for a reset.
What is the local Tampa acting scene here? I've yet to really, because I asked you, I think, like, how do you even get involved in something like that? Because I always wanted to do, like, videos, too. I'd want to do, like skits and stuff like that what I was thinking. But it's so hard to organize people. And how do you network with the, I guess just going to classes, though, probably, right?
Classes is a big thing, yeah, because everybody in class is typically trying to work on something or do something of their own, or they're already commercial actors, so on and so forth. My start was really, I found something on Craigslist when I first started taking acting classes. Wasn't the best set to be on. It was very, very indie, kind of run and gun. We got kicked out of a lot of places and whatnot, but it was a learning experience, you know, so... once I started talking to people on that set, it led to being on more sets and more sets and more sets. And then eventually I moved out to Los Angeles. Long story short, came back and then already kind of had a foot in the door. So to anybody that's taken up interest in beginning acting, especially in a smaller market or even larger markets, look at the local film schools. So I did some work at the University of Tampa. They had a campus movie fest that I went in for a couple auditions and worked with the same director twice. And then USF, I met a film crew out there, and I still work with those guys to this day. I actually just wrapped up a feature-length, like, found footage film with the same director that I worked with, like, 7 years ago. So, yeah, film schools, Craigslist, you got to put your feelers out.
Yeah, so. But probably the best thing to do would be to take a class if you were really interested in it.
Yeah, absolutely. If you have no experience in acting whatsoever, definitely take a class just to see what you're going to get into. I haven't been one of those actors that's constantly in classes. I kind of like to use real life as a class, if that makes sense. I'm not trying to sound like pretentious here, but I feel like you really have to live organically. After taking those couple acting classes and getting an active mind towards what acting is, take what you learn in that class for, you know, 3-6 months, however long you study, and then apply that to everyday life and really pay attention to what's going on. And then take those things and apply them in your acting classes if you decide to go back, or even just if you're on production, you're recreating organic life in imaginary circumstances. So,
Sean Gloria is joining me on the Homemade Broadcast this week. What would you say one of the most important things you did learn from the acting class?
To stop acting. And I say that because there's, I guess, an approach to acting where people kind of put on a character. The biggest thing that I learned from classes was to live in those imaginary circumstances without bad acting, I guess. If you were to put me in a scene or something and I hype it up or overact it, it doesn't seem organic. Everyone knows that you're just putting on a show. But if you say things very real and organically, people can't really tell if you're acting. So what we're doing right now, per se, is acting. You know, we're having an organic conversation, but we're not speaking like this, and I'm not answering your questions, you know, right on the bat. So right. It's not putting on a show. It's very organic and just back and forth. So stop acting is the key.
Because there's some guys that do the opposite, right? What's the guy that really gets into his roles? He played Bill the Butcher and
Daniel Day-Lewis.
Daniel Day-Lewis,
in New York,
that's the one I'm thinking, right?
Yeah, so there's definitely, there's a fine line there, and that may not even be a fine line. It's a broad line. But Daniel Day-Lewis, I think he's kind of one of those few, he's a hardcore method actor. And my base in acting, my foundation is in the method, Lee Strasberg. And, Corinne was very, very into the method, and she wanted us to really study and learn that and learn how to be organic with it. To make a long story short, what method acting is kind of living organically, whether the camera's on or not, in that character. Jared Leto's another one. He, was really known for, he stayed in character as the Joker for the entire filming of Suicide Squad, and he was driving people nuts. That's fine if that's your approach and you want to learn someone that way. For Reset, I took a method approach and went pretty hardcore method with it and stayed in character, you know, on set. Thank God I only worked 2 days because I played a racist and Dominic Smith asked me to stay in character on the set, and that was tough because we couldn't really
speak.
Sounds
fun.
So it was definitely interesting. It was quite the interesting experience. But
is it learning a character, or is it you kind of make it your own, though, right? You kind of make the character when you get into it. There's, you know, this guy's a racist or something. That's an attribute about him. Mm-hmm. But then you kind of fill in the gaps there. So it's a little bit of both, right?
Yeah. I think it depends on, you know, the writing or the director that you're working with. If, you know, ultimately they have the final say. But if you work with someone in, you know, like Dominic, who was awesome, and he kind of just let me do what I wanted within the realm of that character. And with the method thing, for instance, I'll give you a little bit of juice here. Outside of it, I watched a lot of, like, old videos with, like, Ku Klux Klan, riot videos from, like, when Baltimore, when they were all rioting in Baltimore. I watched a lot of, like, violent videos that had a lot to do with race issues, and it just kind of put me in this mindset that was, like, really unnerving. Have you ever just taken a day and just watched, like, war videos or just really messed up things on the internet?
Not a day, but I've definitely spent some time, you know, throughout the day. Usually every day, actually. Yeah. I'm thinking about it.
At some point, just in the day, it comes across your lap. Well, I'd spend, you know, like, a full day doing that, and it just kind of really changes your psyche, and you kind of carry that with you afterwards. And then, you know, you go on a set, and I would listen to really, like, kind of hardcore, like, rock music, and then I'd play these videos, and it would just kind of zone me into that, and then I'd hear the word action, and you go into the scene, and you kind of carry that energy
right,
that
right,
you
right.
just harness from all that
like,
nastiness.
Yep.
And it fuels into your character and your actions, and it's all behind the eyes. You can see that stuff.
Yeah, geez, you can just put on the news now. That's good
enough. Yeah, turn
days.
On the news, exactly.
It's a mess.
Yeah,
the world
it seems
is a
like
mess.
It's
do you keep up
else.
With current events at all, or do you not even bother?
You know, I used to, and then I realized that I was becoming an extremely angry person all the time.
Yes.
it's tough, man, because I've done a lot of reading. I've done a lot of research. And it's – at the time, I was, like, one of those people that I would yell it to anybody that would listen. And then I realized that people don't want to hear it.
Yeah.
Or people don't want to really find a solution. It seems like they just want to
fight.
They want to fight and argue about it, and that's it.
I noticed that, too. And I actually found the unfollow button on Facebook. I didn't know that existed, where you could stay friends.
Yeah, that makes two of us.
You can unfollow. So that is going to save so many of my friendships by never interacting with them online ever again.
Absolutely. And I'm glad you brought that up, because just recently, it was like 2 weeks ago, I was telling my girlfriend Kayla at a moment where I sat down and I was like, I think I'm going to go on an unfollow, like,
that's what
tirade.
I did.
Like,
awesome.
For lack of a better term, I unfollowed like 250 people that day. It was just like, oh, this is awesome.
It felt so good afterwards. I'll never see this crap.
Yeah.
I don't understand what these
My
people...
My finger hurt after a while.
I don't understand what these people think. Like, you're not going to change anybody's mind. There's two possibilities if you put something on social media. Either somebody's going to agree with you and give you that like button, or you're going to alienate one of your friends.
Yeah.
If it's anything politics, just don't bother. It's just not worth it.
Well, that's the rule, general rule when you go to a party. I mean, there's two massive things that you don't talk about, religion and politics.
Right.
You know, and if you want to go even deeper, like just sexual orientation or whatever it might be. Just things that you don't really need to talk about when people are trying to have a good time.
See, that's the thing. Like, what do you talk about? What needs to be said on social media? Nothing really. So that's what it comes down to, this politics crap, because there's just they got to do something. They're reading an article on their websites that they go to, whatever it is. So and you could just share it. So it seems like that's what it's for. But it just doesn't need to be said, man. I wish I would have never got a Facebook.
That makes
if
two
I could
of
go
us.
Back.
And actually, if I wasn't, you know, trying to make a living in such a networking driven industry, I probably wouldn't have Facebook. Now, I say that, but who knows?
Yeah. My excuse is I have to run the pages that I run.
Exactly. So, you know that's how they lock you in. Yeah. You're going to build a career on this? All right. Well, I guess you have to have it, don't you?
Yeah. So. I've been pretty I've been trying to close it during the day, though, if I'm at work, not have it open, because there's nothing you miss really.
No.
And now there's so much stuff, so much crap during the day, you're never going to follow it anyways. Like Twitter, too, I'll open, and it's like news stories, and then I flip up. Just I'm not going to read all these things. There's no way. I don't even understand why this stuff exists. But, I mean, I guess it's important. If you want to do something creative, you should have one. But not most people shouldn't have a Twitter or a Facebook.
I agree.
Except, I guess, if you want to follow people, though. But if you follow, there's some people that follow 8,000 people. I follow, like, 200, and I can't keep up. Yeah. So what's the point?
Yeah. Well, that's actually the subject of a production I just worked on recently with a gentleman named Ryan Justice and associated with Ian Longan at Longan Films, and then Jason Henney, who's decently known in the local film market as well. It's called Followers. It's a feature film. It's a found footage film. It's kind of like a thriller, horror. It's kind of funny in parts, but it's touching on that subject. It's taking a couple who are kind of like your all-American couple, and they do what is called life casting. So they record like everything they do in life. Mm-hmm. Pretty annoying, right? Mm-hmm. Well, they post it all online, and they're pretty like famous through social media. Because of that, they generate tons and tons of followers, and it turns out that they gained a few followers that don't have the best intentions in mind, and that's what the film is about. So basically, the whole film is shot through their cameras as they life cast, and then the cameras of their followers. So I'll leave it at that. But yeah, it was an interesting film. It was fun to shoot. We spent a lot of time out in Florida State Park with tons of bugs and, walking through forest at 5 o'clock in the morning. So
how do you find these films that you work on?
Now that one was, Ryan Justice with Justified Films. I had worked with him on a film called Scoops. It was a short film like 6-7 years ago. And, that was at USF. Now, with other films, I'm kind of like that shameless guy who will just go on IMDb, look up local projects, and then I'll find who the director was, who the writer was, who the lead actors were all in that project. I'll look them up on Facebook, I'll add them all, and then I'll send them a message like, yo, my name's Sean, I'm an actor, or I'm a writer, or whatever it might be, and introduce myself and be like, hey, if you guys ever have auditions for your next project, I saw this project on IMDb. I thought it was wonderful. Let's collaborate. Let's keep in touch. Let me know if you're having a casting call or something like that. I never really ask for a role, but I'll ask for an audition.
Right.
Because I'm not that shameless.
Yeah. So, but I mean, you've done a lot. How many projects would you say you've done?
Locally, quite a few, actually. The majority of my IMDb page is local things. So just recently I had, I forgot my notebook, but I had like 7 projects within that are, have finished up within the last 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
One of them being one that I wrote that's in the short film market. It's called Rogue Island, and that was directed by Ryan Justice as well. That one's about an Irish hitman being framed for the murder of his best friend. He gets sent to prison, and when he gets out of prison, he makes it his personal mission to eliminate everyone that was involved with incarcerating him.
So, how are they distributed? Just online? Or?
It kind of depends. That's what the festival market is kind of for. So we have submitted Rogue Island to a bunch of festivals. Like, it played at Gasparilla. It played at Sunscreen Film Festival. Played at Amelia Island, like all these different places. It's going to play at Comic-Con here in Tampa. So basically, the reason why we submit films to these festivals, like Reset's doing the same thing, is to get them in front of an audience. Mm-hmm. Hopefully someone in that audience is a producer of some sort or a distributor of some sort that's going to like it and say, listen, we want to give you a distribution deal that's this big, whatever it might be, Netflix, Amazon, Hulu,
anything.
It ended up at Target, Best Buy.
I didn't really realize how many movies get made that...
It's ridiculous.
Even, like, huge stars, like, make these movies that never go to theaters. It's or just straight to DVD.
Yeah, absolutely. There's so many movies being made, and that's one thing that made me leave Los Angeles, because it's a tough life out there trying to make it, especially as an actor, because you're kind of... I hate to put it this way, and this might piss some people off, but actors are kind of like the bottom of the totem pole.
Yeah.
You want to... enter a room and immediately be disliked by everyone in there. It takes 4 words. Just go up to them and say, hi, I'm an actor. Swear to God, it changes the way people treat you.
Yeah.
But I decided to leave, come to a smaller market, and just get my foot in the door with local markets and, make movies here.
It seems like there's a lot of potential here in the Tampa Bay area for film, but they just can't get the resources. They can't get the tax breaks. They can't make the incentives to shoot. Because I know actually the Infiltrator premiere is tonight, isn't it?
Yeah,
at the Tampa Theater.
So
that was great to have something happen there. And I know that when that was shooting, they couldn't find enough qualified people here. I know they had to ship a bunch of people in from Orlando, and I know there's a lot of talent here.
Yeah.
And it's just, I'm curious why the cities are embracing these things and the money that it will bring.
You know, I wish I could speak on it and give you like a sound argument here. But personally, I can't. I do.
What would you like to see happen if you had your way?
I'd like to see, obviously, more movies being made here. Know everything that, you know, needs to go into that. I'm not really sure because it seems like a lot of people screaming back and forth. And whenever that happens, that like whole rabble atmosphere happens, I kind of check out. When it comes to like the whole, we need tax incentives. Well, you don't because it does this to your city. I'm like, I'm tired of the arguing, so I'm just going to go this way. What I'd like to see is I'd like to see more films being shot here and then it being a proud thing. So if it goes to theaters or even if it just goes into the film festival, like making Florida an appealing place to shoot is what I want to see.
Seems like a no-brainer to me, especially with the way St. Pete is. Yeah, St. Pete's such a hot city right now. It's got everything going on. It's an art city.
It's amazing here. We're, you know, Kayla and I are moving in here into the city next week. And we literally cannot wait. Like, we hang out in St. Pete every day because we can't wait to live here. It's an amazing city. They got a lot going on, and it's definitely our style. I'd love to see more films made here. I know The Punisher.
That was Tampa, too, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was Tampa, St. Pete. So I just like to see
there has been some things. What's the one, the beach one that was around not too long ago? Beach?
Spring Breakers?
Spring Breakers.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there is stuff happening, but not enough.
Few and far between. And I mean, Infiltrator, you know, that's a great one. I don't understand, entirely.
Me either.
What needs to happen. I would like to see it happen, obviously.
I think we still have an older population here that is resistant to it.
Yeah.
My stepdad was the film liaison for Las Cruces, New Mexico. And that was the deal with, because it's beautiful. It's an historic town.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the deal. They just didn't want to be bothered. They liked to keep their small town, you know. And for Las Cruces, I don't really blame them. But for St. Pete in such an upcoming area, it's in Huffington Post all the time. Everybody's talking about the city.
Yeah.
We need to take advantage of this and get it while it's hot. Because I know a lot of people would want to shoot here and do projects here.
Well, I mean, it's creating jobs as well. It's bringing money in. So, I mean, I don't know. It's kind of a headache situation, I guess. But
because the jewel of the South for the film is Atlanta, right? Mm-hmm. That's pretty much where everyone's going.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, and if you're living down south, I know they do a lot of projects there.
Yeah, I'm surprised there's not a lot more going on in Miami. But who knows with the whole tax incentive thing that we were just talking about? But Atlanta is the hotspot right now. So my agent's Louisiana. We considered moving to Louisiana. I was going to go to New Orleans. And then we considered Atlanta as well, but then we just kind of fell in love with St. Pete, you know. And
so if you're in Florida, man, I think it's a place to be.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to be anywhere else. I've been to Miami. I hate Miami, although I'm not in good enough shape for Miami. Maybe if I was in good shape, I could do that. Just wasn't my thing, though.
Gotcha.
I felt like I was in Puerto Rico or something. Yeah. I was in a minority speaking English. And I was like, this is weird.
Yeah, that was my experience. I was there for a day to help someone move, and my thing was, like, you walk in somewhere, and you're treated rudely because you don't speak a different language.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, I'm still in America, right?
Right. Not really. No. I mean, that's just the way it is. So, I guess we got to get out of here already, but can you give your social media out, where to find you, where you can find your projects? And
yeah, absolutely. My social media, if you just look me up on Facebook. I mean, Sean Gloria, that's S-E-A-N. Last name is G-L-O-R-I-A. I'm pretty easy to find on Facebook. IMDb, Sean Michael Gloria. Look up some of the projects I've been in, especially the local ones, because I couldn't give everything a shout out, but there's a lot of stuff coming out here in the next couple of months that should be pretty fun, exciting to watch.
Get out to film festivals. Go see those. I went to, was it the Sunscreen?
Yeah.
I went to that one. Not this year. I had plans this year, but I went last year. It was a lot of fun. I got to see a lot of interesting new stuff that I haven't seen before. So that's a way to support, too, right? Getting out to the festivals.
Yeah, and I think things are getting a lot better. You know, that's with the production value of film, I think people are really starting to come together and push for some attention in this market.
Definitely. Sean, thank you very much for coming in. Appreciate it.
Absolutely.
You check me out on Twitter, home_made_man, hmbradio.com. Have a terrific week. I'll talk to you next week.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Peace.
Problems. It's human nature to hate problems. But why is that? After all, problems inspire us to mend things, bend things, make things better. That's why so many people work with IBM on everything, from city traffic to ocean plastic, new schools to new energy, flight delays to food safety. Smart loves problems. IBM. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/smart/UK to learn more. Problems. It's human nature to hate problems. But why is that? After all, problems inspire us to mend things, bend things, make things better. That's why so many people work with IBM on everything, from city traffic to ocean plastic, new schools to new energy, flight delays to food safety. Smart loves problems. IBM. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/smart/UK to learn more.